This is the Everything Financial Radio program. I'm your host, Dennis Tubergen. Welcome. Glad you decided to tune in today. I've got a great show lined up for you today. Joining me once again on today's program is one of my favorite guests, the very colorful Mr. Gerald Celente. Gerald is the publisher of Trends Journal. He has a terrific trends forecasting record, and it's always nice to catch up with him a couple times a year or so. He'll be joining me momentarily. On today's program, I want to talk to you about the U.S. dollar. Is it stronger? Is it weaker? What does it matter to you? This is a topic that many people ignore, but it's something that you'll want to think about. You'll want to understand at a very deep level, because it's got significant implications for the money you spend in years ahead and the way you manage your retirement nest egg. So I'll be talking about that in some detail on today's program as well. I'd like to remind you that we do have a special new retirement rules class coming up after the first of the year on January the 30th. I know that seems like a long ways away, almost a couple months, but we expect that we will have this class fill up quickly. If you are planning for retirement and would like a different perspective based on macroeconomic cycles, based on just taking a look at other times historically when economic conditions look like the conditions that exist today, and we look at what happened then, and that can help us, we believe, predict what's going to happen in the future and what will happen today and how to manage your money. Certainly, we live in a world, as we'll talk about today, that is much different than the world in which our parents and grandparents planned their retirements. And this class has been designed and redesigned for 2016 to help you make your plans effectively. If you'd like to register for the class while capacity remains, just go to the website newretirementrules.com. You can register by just simply filling out the form on the site. The cost for the class is just $49. That covers the cost of all the handouts as well as lunch for you and a guest. And if your New Year's resolution is to finally take time to make that retirement plan and do the planning that you've been meaning to, now's a terrific time to walk over to the phone and register and clear your calendar for January the 30th. I'm pleased to have joining me again on the Everything Financial Radio program today, Mr. Gerald Celente. Gerald is the publisher of Trends Journal. You can get more information about his terrific publication at trendsresearch.com. And Gerald, welcome back to the program. Pleasure to have you here.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Dennis.
Gerald, let's start as we near the end of the year here and talk about markets. It's been an interesting year in markets. At the beginning of the year, if someone had said that just about every market would be negative except the U.S. dollar, we'd probably thought we were all crazy. But give us your take on particularly gold. With all the money printing going on around the world by central banks, why is gold still at such a low price?
You know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. It's not in the interest of the central banks. For example, the ECB, you know, the big news, of course, was, you know, what are they going to do? Or, well, they announced, of course, they're going to continue their quantitative easing program. And that's buying about, $60 billion worth of bonds each month. And they're going to extend that well into 2017. I mean, this is unheard of. They cut their deposit rate to minus 0.3%. Minus 0.3%. Hey, you know, Dennis, you're a nice guy. I'll tell you what, I'm going to sell you some Swiss bonds. Well, they have what we call a negative yield. Well, that means that, you know, when you give me X amount of money, and when after they mature after several years, we're going to give you back less than you gave us. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. This has never happened in history. Look at the United States. You know, they haven't raised interest rates now in almost 10 years. Now, the Fed is at zero interest rate policy since 2008. People can't put money in the banks anymore and get any return on it. There used to be a thing called a savings account. So to me, whether it's the United States, whether it's the ECB, whether it's the Bank of Japan, whether it's the Bank of England, whether it's the Chinese, all of this quantitative easing has inflated the equity markets. That's it. Because, the facts are in front of us. You know, mostly the equity markets went up for two reasons. Stock buybacks by major companies, because they're borrowing money for nothing and then buying back their stock, driving the prices up, and merger and acquisition activity, which is at record levels. So, why gold prices down? I believe the game is rigged. And again, it's not a conspiracy theory, it's a fact. The fact of the matter is that six banks were convicted, not charged, convicted of felonies for rigging the LIBOR, the interest rates, and the Forex markets, the currencies. Currencies are traded, what, $5.3 trillion a day? Six banks convicted, and not one head rolled? So, we know they're rigging LIBOR, we know they're rigging Forex, and there's a lot of expectation that they're rigging gold. Because when you look at what's going on, you know, let's look at other commodities. Iron ore, that's down, you know, at the high, when the commodities were all at the high around 2011, you know, iron ore was trading about, what, $200 a metric ton. Now it's down to under 40. You look at all the commodities, they're all way, way down. According to the Bloomberg Index, they're at about 1999 levels on average. Why? Because demand is down. Now let's go to gold. Hey, U.S. demand for gold bars and coins is up 207% this year. According to the World Gold Council, gold demand rose nearly 10% year to date. And so, in the United States, overall for the year, growth up 62%. Over in Europe, up 35%. And it's not only the people that are buying the stuff. You're looking at central banks. They bought 175 tons this year. And that's near the record high level for the same period last year. So unlike the other commodities, demand is high for this. So when you see demand for this going the way it is, how come the prices aren't going up? Because everybody would know that the central banks are over their head, they don't know what they're doing, and all they're doing is printing more of this digital money not worth the paper it's not printed on. So there'd be panic on the streets when their currencies are crashing. So I think that's what's going on. They don't want us to see what a sham the whole thing is. Again, the ECB cut its deposit rate to -0.3%. A minus.
So, Gerald, it seems to me when you have negative interest rates, and I think it was, you can correct me if I'm wrong, it was Hungary or Belgium, they tried it in a country, and obviously it didn't work. I think I recall reading that it was really good for the home safe business. Is that where we should be looking to buy stock?
Yeah. You know, why would you put your money in the bank? Why? Other than, you put it in there, if you're running a business, you got to pay bills and things, you know. But why? Why give them your money when they give you nothing back on it, and then they loan it back to you, you know, with as much interest as they could possibly get, particularly with credit cards? So, again, to you ask why gold prices are down, I believe they're being manipulated down on the naked shorts and the rigging of the market. I remember one time, you know, this year, all of a sudden, you know, gold collapsed, you know. This is when it hit the big number down. And then I'm reading, what happened? When did this happen? Well, it happened, you know, on the Shanghai index, gold index, and that was the day that there was no trading in Japan. And within sight of, you know, 3 minutes, you know, 30 tons of gold or some ridiculous number was traded, shorted. And, you know, so you look at these things, come on, you know, it was 3 minutes of all of this, you know. So they're driving down the price because it's not in the interest, as I said, of the central banks to see the gold prices going up, because then people realize that their digital currency. Look, if you lived in I talk about commodity prices, Canada, what is the Canadian dollar is down, what, about 17% against the dollar year to date. You go around the world, real, the Brazilian real, about 40%, 30-something percent against the ruble. So if you were holding all those currencies, wouldn't you rather have gold than your currency declining? So, anyway, I don't give financial advice, but that's we're trend forecasters, and we believe gold is right near its bottom because it cost to pull it out of the ground is about with the price where it's at now. So we don't see it going much lower. But we still say, you know, the upside is well over 2,000.
So, Joe, let me go back and talk equity markets because certainly I think just about everyone agrees that one of the effects of quantitative easing or money printing is it inflates stock prices because newly printed money has to find a home. What's your take on the end game here? I mean, do central banks keep printing until currencies are destroyed, and at that point equity markets crash, or is the gig up before then?
It's very hard to, you know, we were wrong on our forecast of when this thing would collapse because they keep coming up with new schemes. Again, we're talking negative interest rates. You know, so it's very hard to tell, but I believe that, you know, people like myself, David Stockman, Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, Peter Schiff, you know, a number of us, Mark Farber, and others, you know, the whole game is rigged. So there is no sense of, when you look back, Dennis, at the Fed minutes, and in this great country where freedom and democracy will kill millions of people around the world to make sure that they get it, we're not allowed to see the Fed minutes until 5 years after. So everybody forgets what they did 5 years earlier. And when you read them, you see what a bunch of frauds and freaks they are. They didn't have a clue of what went on prior to the panic of 08. It's right there for everybody to read. They don't know what they're doing. They're losers and liars. It's bankism. It's a total takeover around the world. And then you start putting the names and faces together. I talked about the ECB. Who's the criminal in charge of that one? Oh, Mario Draghi. Where did he come from? Hey, wasn't he the head of the Goldman Sachs gang, the European division? Isn't this the guy that did the dirty deal with Greece to bring him into the Euro group when they weren't qualified for it? Yeah, that Mario Draghi. Oh, who's the guy that's over the Bank of Japan over there? Excuse me, the Bank of England. Wasn't that Carney? Yeah, Carnival man. Carney, Carnival? Yeah, Goldman Sachs guy, right? Who was the disgusting human being, and you see him laughing about, you know, how everybody's getting screwed, how rich everybody else is getting. The YouTube is out there. Henry Paulson, the guy under Bush that was fronting his Secretary of the Treasury, coming from the CEO of Goldman Sachs gang, that gave us Too Big to Fail. Four words that kill capitalism. No such thing in capitalism. No, but we got to bail out our buddies, particularly the Goldman Sachs gang that did a bad deal with AIG and gives us Too Big to Fail. Who was the guy that destroyed Glass-Steagall Act and put that into motion? Where did he come from? And that was Robert Rubin. Yeah. Where did he come from? Goldman Sachs under Clinton. And then he gets a job with Citigroup after they merged Travelers, Smith Barney, and Citibank to make Citigroup, and what does he make, $150 million as a consultant? What am I, stupid? Oh, no, you, of course you are, Salenti. Rubin deserved every penny of that. He's brilliant. How about a payoff? And you look around the world. Here, in the United States, they just had three appointments to the banks. Where they come from? Minneapolis, Goldman Sachs. Dallas, new one, Goldman Sachs. New appointee to Philadelphia, Goldman Sachs. In the whole entire world, in this entire country of 315 million people, the only people qualified to be on the central bank are Goldman Sachs? How about calling a criminal group a criminal group? It's the white shoe boys on Wall Street. And they're running the show around the world. And all the central bankers are in control. You know, nothing's really changed, Dennis, since the time when Jesus Christ picked up that whip and, you know, drove the money changers out of the temple. So when people say to me, hey, Salenti, take it easy, I say to them, hey, listen, if Christ could become violent, because of the money changes, I could become angry.
You know, Gerald, and we've got about 3 minutes left in this segment, but when you look at the money that's been printed by the Federal Reserve here in the United States, let's just call it $5 trillion, give or take, if the central bank was really concerned about Main Street, wouldn't they take that equivalent of about $50,000 a household and just put it on Main Street and say, hey, pay off $25,000 of debt and spend $25,000? Wouldn't that be better for the economy?
Again, this isn't capitalism. The merger of state and corporate powers is called fascism. You know, we got this clown running the show over here in New York, Andrew Cuomo. All these guys born on third base and thought he hit a triple, you know, like Trump, all the rest of them. You know, like, their daddy got them there. Let's go, you know, make this clear. You know, Mario is there. That's why Andy is there. They just gave $70 million deal for Alcoa to keep aluminum smelting plant up in northern New York. They're closing down them all over the world because there's too much supply and not enough demand. $70 million. That's not supposed to happen in a capitalistic country. It's the merger of state and corporate powers. No. Salenti, these are called campaign donations. Yeah. Where I come from in the Bronx, we call them bribes and payoffs.
Gerald, we've got about a minute left in this segment, and we'll be continuing our conversation with Gerald Salenti when Everything Financial Radio returns. But in about the minute we have left, if someone would like to learn more about your work publishing the Trends Journal, what would you have them do?
Oh, go to trendsresearch.com. And by the way, it's much more than just a Trends Journal. Each weekday night we do a Trends in the News broadcast. Video broadcast. We have a Trends Monthly and a Trend Alert each week. And of course, we have conferences here in Colonial Kingston. So if you want to read history before it happens, it's the Trends Journal is where you'll find it. And it's at trendsresearch.com.
Well, terrific. I'd encourage the listeners to go check it out. And we'll continue our conversation with Gerald Salenti when Everything Financial Radio returns. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Everything Financial Radio program. I'm your host, Dennis Tubergen, and I will be continuing my conversation with Mr. Gerald Salenti in the next segment, which is just a few minutes away. In the fourth segment of today's program, I will be talking about the U.S. dollar, help you sort out whether a stronger dollar or weaker dollar is better for you and managing your retirement nest egg. There are very deep implications to understanding this issue, so I would encourage you to stay tuned for that. I do want to remind you, if you have not yet attended a new retirement rules class, that we have one coming up on January the 30th. That is a long ways out there, it may seem, but it'll be here before you know it. If you've been meaning to get a better handle on your retirement plan and do so from a perspective that takes into account what's happened historically. If you think back to what your history teacher or history professor might have told you, probably something along these lines. Those who don't study history will repeat history. We believe that that is true. So in the class, we take a look at different times, historically speaking, over the last 2,500 years when economic conditions look as they look today. And we show you what's happened and where you should have your money, most importantly, to not only survive what we believe will be a very difficult economy and a market moving ahead, but also potentially prosper. The class is based on the book, New Retirement Rules. We get you the book before the class. You have time to look at it, read it. We send you a cover letter with the book so you have an opportunity to read the whole book or just excerpts. That'll make the class more meaningful to you. And the cost for the class is just $49. That covers the cost of the book, the handouts, lunch for you and a guest. We expect the class will fill up fairly quickly, so I'd encourage you to register by visiting the website newretirementrules.com. The website, again, is newretirementrules.com. And if you're not sure if you want to register or would like more information, there is information posted at that website as well. So you can go read about it, check it out, and decide whether or not you would like to register. Again, the website, newretirementrules.com. And if you'd like to listen to my interview with Gerald Celente again, you can do so by visiting the website, everythingfinancialradio.com. That website, again, is everythingfinancialradio.com. I'll be back with Gerald after these words.
Give me your money. Just give me money.
Monday, Monday, Monday. Always Sunday in the rich man's world.
Welcome back to the Everything Financial Radio program. I'm your host, Dennis Tubergen, and I have the pleasure of chatting once again today with returning guest, Mr. Gerald Celente. If you're just joining us, Mr. Celente publishes the Trends Journal, and you can get more information about his work at trendsresearch.com. Gerald, in a prior segment, we talked about the fact that commodities are really tanking year-to-date, and yet equity markets are being inflated and are rising. And yet, when you study history, commodities are often the canary in the coal mine to a deflationary scenario. Does that happen again?
Of course. And it's going on. I mean, when you talk about, you know, iron ore and copper, you know, copper is the big indicator as well as iron ore. And you see, as I mentioned, you know, iron ore prices down from $200 a metric ton, you know, down to under 40. And the same with copper. You know, copper keeps hitting new lows, six-year lows. So it's a global slowdown. Look what's going on in Brazil. I mean, they're in a terrible recession. They're talking about 1930s conditions, because these were all of these export-rich countries, you know, that had natural resources that were export-rich. Now they're becoming very poor, and because there's a global slowdown, you know, people are blaming it on China. It's not only China; it's an entire slowdown. Hey, did you see those sales, those bleak Christmas sales on Black Friday? And you know, going into the holiday and Thanksgiving weekend, and then as soon as this big hype of Black Friday is over, full page ads in the New York Times from Macy's, 50 to 75% off on, you know, different things. Friends and family, come on in. Hey, wait a minute! You just had a big sale. You've been having sales all year long. The retail market's in trouble. It has nothing to do with just the internet. Oh, yeah, there was an increase in sales in the internet. That's true. No doubt about it. But cheaper items were bought. In the big top categories, the top four categories, they were way down. So you have people who are spending more, but they're buying less. So there's a global slowdown, and all of these resource-rich countries, Chile, Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, Angola, Niger, every one of them that are resource-rich are in real problems now. Matter of fact, the Saudis are even selling bonds. They need oil, Brent, to be at $100 a barrel for their budget to break even, and now we're talking, what, around $45 a barrel? You think there's going to be problems over there? You think there's going to be problems in all these other resource-rich nations that are barely holding on, and now they're going down? Their currencies in the emerging markets now are at 2002 levels on average. Now, remember, when all that hot money came out of the United States through that quantitative easing scheme, it went into these emerging markets, a lot of it, and that's what boosted them. Now they're stuck with all of this debt. What they're selling, their commodities, are in the tank, so they're not making money. And now they have to pay back this debt as their currencies are declining, and they got to pay it back in dollars. And what are they going to do? They're going to be raising interest rates in the States. You're going to see the dollar get stronger. And all these emerging market currencies that are already at 2002 lows go lower. And they got to pay it back in dollars. You think there's going to be any problems? This is a global economic recession. And you are 100% right that the commodities are the canary in the coal mine.
So, Gerald, when you start to think about the scenario that you just described, What geopolitical trends do you see emerging as a result of this economic tension that will continue to escalate?
One of the top trends, we're coming out with a list in just a week from now, is going to be human waves. Think back to World War II. Think of the refugee crisis. There were 2.3 billion people on the planet. 2.3. We've added 5 billion since. The entire Middle East, thanks to the United States and its coalition of the killing, have caused that refugee problem. Iraq, Syria, Libya, Afghanistan, and now the Saudis and the United States bombing Yemen. If you lived in these countries, would you want to get out of there too if everything you had was destroyed and everybody you love is being killed? So the refugee crisis is a human wave. Now, let's put on top of that, go back to the sagging commodities. They're going to be coming from Argentina to the Cape of Good Hope in Africa. They're going to be going El Norte to find jobs, as all of these commodity prices continue to slump. So they're going to be coming out of Chile, Venezuela, Colombia, out of Ghana, Algeria, Nigeria, South Africa, looking for work someplace. So you're going to start seeing geopolitical unrest at a level we've never seen probably since World War II.
That's certainly an ominous statement, Gerald. So do you see that that another conflict is unavoidable given the economic conditions? And that's such a scary question to ask.
Yes, it's avoidable. You know, if people would stop minding other people's business. Look, we just heard this guy playing head of the Department of Defense, this little boy, Ashton Carter. He said, we're at war. And we're sending more troops into Afghanistan, into Syria and Iraq. We're at war? Who are you to declare we're at war? Where's the media? Who are you to declare? There used to be a thing, Dennis, in the United States. It was called the Constitution. And Congress had to vote whether or not to go to war. Congress has not voted to go to war since World War II. The commanders-in-chief put it upon themselves to play El Emperor and El Presidente to take us to war. How about honoring thy founding fathers and no foreign entanglements? How about closing the bases overseas and securing the homeland? How about building highways in the United States rather than in Afghanistan and the other countries that we destroy and rebuild our infrastructure? Yeah, there's a way out of this. Peace and prosperity. And they're not empty words. They go hand in hand. Listen to Eisenhower. Farewell address. Military-industrial complex, robbing the nation, the genius of scientists, sweat of the laborers, and the future of the children. That was 1960. Here we are going into 2016. And this is a five-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces, and two-term president. So there's a way out. It's occupy peace rather than keep going to war.
Well, if you're just joining us, we're chatting today with Gerald Celente. He is the publisher of Trends Journal. You can get more information about his work, and I would encourage you to do so at trendsresearch.com. Gerald, in the time we have left, let's talk a little American politics. Give me your assessment of what you see out there so far.
We're political atheists. You know, the, you go back to our spring Trends Journal, the cover was Liars, Cowards, Freaks, and Fools. The Presidential Reality Show. Welcome to the Presidential Reality Show. And that was before Donald Trump got in there. The real reality show champion. It's a disgrace. Look at these, what they call debates. You got 90 seconds to answer the question and a 60-second rebuttal. 90 seconds? It's beat the clock. Go back to the Lincoln-Douglas debate. Do you know the first person that was speaking spoke for 90 minutes? The second one, for 60 minutes, the second person for 90 minutes, and then a 30-minute rebuttal, a rejoinder, they called it. It's a freak show. Look at this. So our forecast is that back we made in September, in spring, is that Hillary Clinton will win as things are going now, because it's the woman vote, and that's what she's playing that card. And more women vote than men. And you look at Obama's last two elections, you know, by over 10% women voted for Obama. And so that's what she's playing that card. She's playing the progressive card. You know, I'm a grandmother, and my mother was a mother, and my grandmother was a grandmother and mother. Maybe they had a mother, too. And you know, so they just keep playing the woman card. And so she's going to win, considering the alienation. And we look at Trump as going to probably become the Republican choice, because he's fighting the guys that he's running against are nobodies. So, as I say, Clinton or Trump, Hitleria or Hitler, take your pick.
Gerald, what is, when you start to look at what's going on in Europe, for example, the recent elections in Poland, where you had a far-right party that won, and they didn't even need to get a coalition, they just outright won, and you see some of the fringe political movements occurring in Europe, some of the similarities between what we're seeing today and the 30s are pretty striking. Can you comment?
Well, sure. You can go, you know, you could even move beyond that. It's the crash of 1929, the Great Depression, currency wars, trade wars, world war, the panic of 08, the Great Recession, currency wars, trade wars, world war. It's all coming back. And then you look at the people running the show. How could any self-respecting human being look up to the people that they call their presidents, chancellors, and prime ministers? Look at Hollande. Look at that little boy over in France. Look at the America between Bush and Clinton and Obama. Look at who they call senators and congressmen they look up to. Pelosi, Not-So-Feinstein, McConnell, Lindsey Graham. A freak show. You know, over in France, they're playing the same Bush game. You know, before 9/11, Bush's popularity rating, you know, the guy just got elected, I use that quote around it, in he took office in late January. By September, he was going under 50% in the polls. He just hit 50%. Right after 9/11, this freak, boom, shot up in the polls. Same thing went on, was going over there in France. Hollande is the lowest rating in the Fifth Republic in France of anybody. And now after that terrorist strike and taking the people's rights away from them and talking tough and going to war, boop, 17% up in the polls. So when all else fails, they take you to war. And that's what's going on. Because people's minds go off like that as soon as they forget about the bad economic times, and everybody marches. Matter of fact, that's happening in France. The kids are all signing up to join, not all of them, but the numbers are skyrocketing, the amount of young kids that are signing up to go fight the bad guys. And they're even waving flags out there. So it's the same thing. And as you point out, nationalism is going to continue to grow as the refugee crisis, as economies go down, and as migrants, the people that can't find work, start flooding in and taking jobs at lower pay. So you're going to see more barriers go up, more nationalism, and more war talk. And that's why, you know, one of the programs that we're launching, independent of the Trends Research Institute, is Occupy Peace. And the website's occupypeace.us. We had a big rally over here in September. We had Ralph Nader, Cindy Sheehan, Dr. Robert Thurman, Gary Null, and we have a program. Close down the bases overseas, bring home the troops, secure the homeland, put the troops to work, rebuilding our rotted infrastructure, force Congress to vote to go to war or not to go to war, and have on each state ballot a referendum where we'll tell them how to vote, because they don't represent us. They represent the money, the people that give them the most amount of money, and their kids never go. So we want to have a referendum where we'll tell them how to vote. So it's a program. This isn't a peace rally of, you know, let's ohm and pray for peace. It's an action plan. And that, to us, is the only way we're going to rebuild America. Again, honoring the founding fathers, beginning with George Washington, farewell address, a real warrior, a real commander-in-chief, not these little boys that play golf, drive pickup trucks, shoot pool, and play basketball, and I'm the commander-in-chief. His farewell address, no foreign entanglements, and the world was at war big time back then.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Our guest today has been Mr. Gerald Celente. Gerald, very much appreciate you joining us, and why don't you give the listeners, in case they're just joining us, one more idea as to where to learn more about your work.
TrendsResearch.com, TrendsResearch.com. We have the Trends Journal. As part of that subscription, we do Trends in the News each weekday night, our broadcast show. And we have Trends Weekly, Trends Monthly, and Conferences. And it's the only place where you're going to find history before it happens. Thank you very much, Dennis, for having me on.
Well, thank you for joining us. And Everything Financial Radio returns after these words. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Everything Financial Radio program. I'm your host, Dennis Tubergen, and a special thanks today to Mr. Gerald Celente for joining us. In this segment, I want to talk about the U.S. dollar. I want to help you sort it out. Why? Because conventional wisdom will say that a weaker dollar leads to higher prices. A weaker dollar or more dollars floating around creates price inflation. And a stronger dollar means lower prices. Well, that may be true, but may not be necessarily true all the time. There are deeper implications, and it's important that you understand this because your retirement may be at stake, and it will certainly affect your cost of living moving ahead. The first thing you need to understand about whether the dollar is stronger or weaker is that by saying there's a stronger dollar or a weaker dollar, that is a relative measurement. The most commonly used metric or measurement to determine the strength or weakness of the U.S. dollar is to use a symbol called the U.S. dollar index. And if you want to check it out, it's DXY is the symbol. And that measures the U.S. dollar's relative strength against the U.S.'s major trading partners. And the currencies, I should say, of the major trading partners, the euro, the yen, the Canadian dollar, the Swedish krona, the Swiss franc, and the British pound. Now, if you look at the time frame since 2001, the U.S. dollar is actually down 20% on a collective basis against all the currencies of the major trading partners since 2001. So down 20%. But if you look since mid-2014, the U.S. dollar is up about 25% against the U.S.'s major trading partners. So the dollar is stronger now on a relative basis. What that means is that imports are cheaper. The flip side of that we'll talk about in a minute is that U.S. exports are not as attractive overseas. There was an article published by CNN in the money section back on November the 9th, and the title of the article was, "Is the dollar too strong for its own good?" I'll give you just a bit from the article. Who struggles with a strong dollar? Time to book that overdue trip to Italy, France, or Spain, which obviously makes overseas travel much more affordable. The article continues, the dollar is inching closer and closer to being worth the same as 1 euro. The last time that happened was 13 years ago. Well, that trend will probably continue because the European Central Bank, as we discussed with Gerald Celente today, this past week said they will continue with their quantitative easing or money printing program. Well, the U.S. dollar index is referenced in this article, and the U.S. dollar is up 10% in 2015 against the six major trading partners that I just mentioned. Well, will the Federal Reserve hike interest rates because the U.S. economy is getting better, which would incidentally make the dollar a whole lot stronger yet? Well, that creates another bigger potential problem. I'll give you another article published back in July on CNN Money. It says the U.S. dollar is getting too strong for some countries. Early warning signs suggest another emerging markets currency crisis. It mentions the currency of Brazil, the real, which was down and hit a 12-year low against the U.S. dollar this past summer. In fact, that has continued to be the trend. The article says the dollar's gain should make history nerds shake in their boots. Its rally in the early 1980s helped trigger Latin America's debt crisis. 15 years later, the greenback surged quickly again, causing Southeast Asian economies such as Thailand to collapse after a run on the banks ensued. A large-scale currency crisis could be a real hit to the global economy, even the United States, because the world's a lot more integrated today than it was in the 80s and 90s. Now, if you look at the things that are happening here, one, there's talk of the Federal Reserve raising rates. I remain skeptical as to whether or not that will happen. If you take a look at commodities prices, they are collapsing, as we talked about with Gerald Celente. Well, when you have a stronger dollar, you have debt-ridden economies that have to pay back debts in dollars. If their currencies are getting weaker, it makes it more difficult to pay back that debt. And at the same time, their income source, the sale of commodities, sees income declining because commodity prices are crashing. That certainly hitting economies very hard, an economy like Brazil, which if you take a look at Brazil's economy, it has actually contracted 7 of the last 9 calendar quarters. Brazil is really in a full-blown depression, and it's likely that we'll see this continue as time goes on. Now, the flip side of this issue is that U.S. exports now become more unattractive. Well, does that mean the Fed will drop rates to make U.S. exports more attractive? Or, if they do that and keep rates low, will we have a looming pension funding problem as we've discussed in the past? Pensions invest in bonds and use something called an actuarial assumption, which is much higher than the interest rates actually being earned. So we have this looming storm. We have U.S. exports becoming more unattractive, or we have a growing pension underfunding problem. So there's this looming storm, and the rest of the world is seeing it. In fact, some of you may have seen this, but China's currency, the renminbi, was recently approved by the International Monetary Fund as a reserve currency. It can be used in global trade starting in October of 2016. So the rest of the world sees the U.S.'s potential problem here and is looking for alternatives, and adding the renminbi, China's currency, to the basket of reserve currencies is one way the rest of the world is hedging their bet against a problem that will be very, very difficult for the U.S. to come out of. Now, if you'd like to get more information about this, I've mentioned on today's program that we do have a January 30 new retirement rules class coming up. If you'd like to get more information or register while capacity remains, all you need to do is visit the website newretirementrules.com. The website newretirementrules.com. And again, you can register there or get more information if you'd like more information. If you're not yet a subscriber to our weekly newsletter, Portfolio Watch, it's easy to subscribe. Go to the website newretirementrules.com. The website again, newretirementrules.com. And sign up. It is free. It's delivered every Monday in your email box. That's our program for this week. Hope you got something you can use. Bye.